And well, we come for our spiritual food. We need to feed our spirit man. And this morning I want to talk with us about the value system of God's kingdom. The value system of God's kingdom. Now when we look at the value system of God's kingdom, it looks like a very upside down kingdom. But really, our earthly kingdom is more upside down, because God's kingdom is right side up. You know, when one of the most well-known prayers in the Bible is where Jesus taught us to pray for God's kingdom to come. Most people know that prayer, but I think most people pray that prayer thinking in their minds that God's kingdom is going to take over the governments of this world. And that's not going to happen. Not now, anyway. So they pray with that expectation that things will change on the ground and things will come better and so on. That doesn't happen. Because that's not how the kingdom comes. But I don't want to go too much into that this morning. I want us to look at the value system of God's kingdom. Every kingdom has a value system. There are some things that we value, that are valued in this kingdom culture. And the kingdom culture is very different from the cultures of the world. And so the value system is very different. And when we come into the kingdom of God, then we need to adapt to the value systems of God's kingdom. They're not the same as the world. You cannot bring secular value systems into God's kingdom. It's not going to work for you. And I think there's a lot of frustration amongst Christians because they know the Bible has some promises for us, and they know things that God wants to do for us, but they don't see it happen. And I believe for a great part, the reason for that is we have not entered fully into the culture of the kingdom. We come into the kingdom with a mindset of the world and think it's going to work for us. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, we had the experience, as you know, of immigrating twice. And so we went through a culture shock twice. We've learned that lesson, that you cannot come with your old culture into the new country and think you'll make it there. You cannot do that. Some things are even dangerous. And so when we come into the kingdom of God, we have adjustments to make. There are some adjustments that we have to make. And if we don't, the best you'll get out of that is a system of religion. Now, who wants that? We don't want a system of religion. We want a faith walk that is vibrant and powerful and that delivers results. Otherwise, there's no reason for us to do that, you know. It's not that we add another activity into our week by coming to church and think we're going to score brownie points with God. That's not, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. You know, God has a wonderful kingdom for us, and with wonderful benefits. I'm not going to touch much on the benefits this morning. I think we know them very well here in this church. There are major benefits by stepping into the kingdom of God. And those things are real, and those things are valid, and that is the will of God. Remember, in that same prayer, Jesus said for us to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, isn't that a big change? Don't you think that if that prayer is answered, everything will change? Everything will change. But this morning, let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and we jump right in at the deep end here. We're not on a runway to build up speed. We just hit the high spot right in the beginning. Is that good? Luke 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do that. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, before we get into wrong thinking here, of course, we know that mammon means wealth. God has nothing against wealth. But God's idea is that wealth serves us and we don't serve wealth. That's a big difference there. Because if you serve wealth, that's a hard taskmaster. It will ruin your life. It will ruin your life. It will ruin your health. It will ruin your marriage. It will ruin your family. It will ruin everything if you serve mammon. But if mammon serves you, that's a whole different story. But you can only serve one God. And we need to. And so we're stepping into this kingdom thinking now. Now let's read on. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard these things, and they derided him. It says in the margin, they turned up their nose at him. They didn't like that idea. Now, people that love money are usually the ones that complain about money. They complain about money all the time. And see, these Pharisees, they were just religious people. They were religious people, and they were lovers of money. Verse 15, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Here begins the value system. What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That's a different value now. We cannot bring that value system of what's highly esteemed among men into the kingdom of God. It doesn't fit there. It doesn't fit there. It's an abomination in the sight of God. Now watch verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. When did the law and prophets stop? When John the Baptist came. Right? That's what it says here. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Everyone is pressing into it. Why would people press into the kingdom of God? Because of benefits. Because of benefits. Everyone is pressing into the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you something. We have to think about this a little bit. Because pressing into the kingdom has a bit of a weird way of getting into it. We'll get to that a little later on. Just pressing into the kingdom is not going to help you. Just pressing into the kingdom is not going to do it for us. Because that's not how the kingdom comes. Now, let's pick up a parallel verse there in Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to spend some time in the book of Luke this morning. Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 11. Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Isn't that something? Nobody has been greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom is greater than he. That's a strange value, isn't it? Here comes this man. He comes in the spirit of Elijah. He's a forerunner of Jesus. And he paves the way for Jesus to come. He baptizes him. He declares him to be the Lamb of God. Great prophet. Everybody's going out to John the Baptist to be baptized by him in the desert. And Jesus comes and says, the least in the kingdom is greater than him. The least in the kingdom. I think it's sometimes good to have a look at ourselves, right? There's so many of God's people who have a bit of a spiritual inferiority complex and think, I can do nothing. And because I believe I can do anything, I don't do anything. Well, you have some powerful scriptures here about you. If you think you're the least in the kingdom, you're greater than John the Baptist. Which means you can do more than he did. How can that be? Well, John the Baptist wasn't born again, but you are. That's a good beginning. You're a new creation. You're a new creation being. That's a high value in the sight of God. Because you were recreated in his image. I can see which we lost an hour sleep last night. I thought that was good news. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. I think, you know, that's something maybe to meditate on this week. Amen. I look at John the Baptist and what he did and say to yourself, I can do more than he did. I can do more because I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. To get the pearl, obviously. To get the pearl. Now, that's the kingdom of God. It's the most precious, the most valuable thing that you can pursue in all of your life. There's nothing as wonderful and as precious as the kingdom of God. Because Jesus says that's what the kingdom of God is like. That you give up everything to have it. Well, that's kind of pressing in, right? It's not something that you do casually. It is your life's consumption to pursue the kingdom. And everything I have does not equal the value of the kingdom. Nothing. It's the most wonderful thing. Our secular minds struggle with that a little bit. I understand that. But we renew our minds, right? And we begin to understand that the kingdom of God is the most precious thing I can ever possess. Amen. Is to have the kingdom of God. Now, I know that some, you know, in today's Christianity, especially here in the West, that thinking of the kingdom of God is a bit of a chore. You know, I have to do things for the kingdom. I have to do things for the church. I have to do things for God. I have to do this. I have to do that. And it's a bit of a drag today. But if we understand the true value of the kingdom, it'll be something that you will pour your life into to get some of it. But because we don't understand the value of the kingdom, we pursue other things, and often And I thought to close my eyes when I say that, is we go after mammon more than we do after the kingdom. Now, it's okay to say, ouch. We're changing our thinking now, right? It's the most valuable thing you can have. Let's read on. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He sold all that he had, everything. Because that kingdom is so wonderful, it's so valuable, it's so precious, that he went and sold everything that he had to get that one thing. That is the kingdom of God. Now, let's do Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. And verse 1. Talking about values in the kingdom. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Well, I thought he did actually answer that question a little earlier on in the same gospel. But he knew what they were thinking, because there was a little incident there where the mother of John and James came and asked Jesus a favor. And that favor was that her two sons would sit, one at the left and one at his right hand in the kingdom of heaven. That's a very humble thought, isn't it? And that's what they were thinking. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." By no means will you enter the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that something? By becoming as a little child. If you don't convert and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's interesting, because little children believe everything. You can tell them anything, they'll believe you, because they trust you. You can even tell them a lie, they'll still believe you, because they trust you. And it is that childlike faith that is valued so high in the kingdom. That you believe God beyond any doubt. You can tell a little one anything you want. They believe. Because they haven't developed that filtration system in their minds to filter out everything that doesn't make sense. Well, let me tell you, the kingdom of God doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Not with to the secular mindset. It does not make sense. There's a lot of things when I read in the Bible about the kingdom and how things are in the kingdom, when I say, well, this makes no sense. It makes no sense. You either reject it because it doesn't make sense, or you believe it and see it work for you. Amen. Now, most of us here in this church have learned the lesson a long time ago. And that is, when it comes to finances, there's a little thing there here in Luke chapter 6, I believe, where Jesus said, when you give, you receive. We believe when you give, you lose. That's the secular mindset. When you give, it's gone. Jesus says, no. When you give, that's when you get. Well, how much sense does that make? It makes no sense at all. Yet, if I ask hands to go up this morning of people who live by that, I believe a lot of hands will go up. Let's see the hands. I don't understand it, but I believe it. It makes no sense to the mind. But it's the Word of God. It's a kingdom principle. And that's just one. There's a whole lot of them. How about love your enemies? How good you feel about that one? Well, that's kingdom lifestyle. That's how things are done in the kingdom. And, you know, until we've come to the place where we love our enemies, we have not adapted to the value system of the kingdom. We haven't adapted. We try to press in and take it by force, but, you know, somehow it doesn't seem to do what we think it will do. It's strange, the kingdom of God. Very strange. Very strange, very different. Very, very different. You know, there was this young man that came to Jesus and he asked him, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? Jesus said, well, go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. The word says it was too hard for him. And he became sorrowful. And he left. He turned around and left. He could not understand the value system of the kingdom. Can you imagine that Jesus actually called him to be a disciple? There could have been 13, you know. There were only 12. They could have been 30. He called him, just like the other ones. But he had too much value on what he had in the world. Today we don't even know his name. We never heard of him again. He's a nobody. Where's his riches today? Who knows and who cares? Who cares? But if he followed him, can you imagine? Can you imagine we would have known his name? We would have seen the things that he did, like Peter and the other ones that followed him. And he was not there because he could not understand, he did not understand that what Jesus offered him was so much more valuable than what he had in the bank. Now, I'm not telling you to go sell everything you have and try to be an evangelist or a pastor. God help you if you do that. But somehow we need to understand that the value system of the kingdom is very different from our secular value systems. And if we want to participate in this kingdom culture and reap all the wonderful benefits that we have in the kingdom of God, we need to change a few things in our thinking. There's a few things that need to change. I believe that the Lord has a few things that he wants to see in the church before Jesus comes. He's coming for a glorious church. When I look around, I don't see the glorious church yet. We have some changing to do. We have some catching up to do. And this will be part of that. That we need to change our value system. The way we value things. And the stuff that we value, we need to change. And begin to come more in line with the Word of God. And with the kingdom of God. Value systems. Value systems. You know, this pressing into the kingdom, I think a lot of us try to do that because we know what's available there. We know what's available there. You know, because it's kind of an immigration situation for all of us. Everybody who comes in the kingdom, you immigrate. There are some things that you leave behind. When we immigrated, we left some things behind. Was it easy? No. It wasn't easy. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, there's a certain loss there. There's a certain loss. I remember when my father passed away on Christmas Day, 2001. 2000. that I tried to go and quickly and be with the family. I couldn't go. I couldn't get a flight. I couldn't go. I missed. I wasn't there. I wasn't there to spend the last days with them, both my father and mother. I lost. My mother, when she passed away just a few years ago, she sent a message for me to come urgently. Urgently. It was a Sunday. And I caught a flight that same afternoon. And while I was in the air, she passed away. I lost. I don't know why she wanted to see me. I don't know. I lost. There are some things that you lose that are very valuable that you leave behind when you do what God expects of you in the kingdom. You cannot hold it too dear. But what we have in the kingdom is much more valuable than what we lose. Oh, the pain is real. Make no mistake. The loss is real. It's not just some feeling or emotion we talk about. There are some real issues there. And when we come into the kingdom of God, there's a whole bunch of things that will have to change. You cannot just go on and just slap on church service once a week and say, well, you're... Well, that's not that it would work. That's not the way it works. Now, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble here this morning and disappoint you and hurt you, but I want to see everybody get into the kingdom. I believe God wants to see his kingdom come. But when Jesus said for us to pray, let your kingdom come, he didn't mean a geographical kingdom. That's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. Because that's not how the kingdom comes. The kingdom of God comes into your heart. You cannot enter the kingdom before the kingdom entered you. And it's in your heart. And the kingdom of God is the place where God reigns, where he is king. That's the kingdom of God. That's where he is king, and that's in your heart. How do we change the world? How do we change our societies and our communities? By changing the hearts of people. Amen. You know, this new thing that's now become popular in the church world, and that is, we talk about the churched and the unchurched. Well, the Bible says nothing about church and unchurched. It has nothing to do with that. it doesn't help to church somebody. What does that mean anyway? Get him to sit on church on a Sunday morning? Is that what Jesus died for? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not about being churched or unchurched. Let's go to John chapter 3. Let's get it right from the source of truth. You cannot believe what people tell you. You need to believe what the Bible says. Amen. That's why you bring your Bible with you, so you can see where we're reading. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot see that. It's got nothing to do with being churched or unchurched. It has everything to do with being born again. Now we're talking about your heart issue here. It's a heart issue. It's a change in your heart. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He's thinking flesh here. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, which is the washing of the word and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. The key to the kingdom is the new birth. The key to the kingdom is the new birth. You have to be born again. You must be born again. Now look at verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now, here's a religious man. He's a religious man. He's a Pharisee. He's a religious leader. And he's getting the message, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom and you cannot enter the kingdom. You must be born again. Now we're getting close to what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God. Because if you're born again, you're a new person. And the new person is made in the image of God. That's what the Bible teaches us. We don't have time to go to read there, but if you want to make a note of that, it's there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. But the kingdom is for people who have been changed on the inside. You must be born again. Your spirit man must die to itself in its old selfish ideals and become born again into the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is where God is king, right? And here is how we enter into the kingdom of God. When God once again sits on the throne of your heart and not you. That's how God's kingdom comes to your life. When God is king of your heart, then you have entered the kingdom, because the kingdom entered you. Now you cannot do what you want. Now I know this is not the stuff that make you eat your Bible up and all of that, but you cannot do your own thing when you're in the kingdom. Because now you have a king and you must obey him. And he's not there to rob you and make your life miserable. Oh, he's there to bless you. Now the kingdom benefits become available. Now, you know, you can press in from the outside and try to take things by violence and all of that, but it's not going to help you, because you cannot have the kingdom without the king. You know, I don't know about you, but there's a yearning inside my heart, and I know a lot of Christians around the world, that we will see the fullness of what Jesus died for. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to just want to read about that. We want to experience the fullness of that blessing. How do we get it? By making God king of your heart. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no sickness. In the kingdom of God, there is no poverty where God rules. There are no thieves there. There's no sin there. There's no misery there. There's none of that is there. But the key to that is you need the king to have the kingdom. Now, I know I'm preaching to the church choir here this morning. but for us who are born again, the next step is the obedience. It's the obedience to the Word of God. It's the obedience to the Spirit of God. And that's often where things don't make sense. We say, well, whoa, let's wait a minute here. You know, this is a little too wild for me. I don't think I can do that. Well, it is wild. It is wild. What do you think? You know, I read in the Bible where this man brought his son to Jesus and he was deaf and dumb. And Jesus came and there was a demon spirit in this young man. And he cast that spirit out and suddenly he could speak and hear. And then the Pharisees came and said, oh, well, he did that by the devil. He is working for the devil. That's how he did it. And Jesus said, when I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom has come near you. The kingdom has come near you. There's power in the kingdom. There's authority in the kingdom that is greater than the authority of the world. There's power in the kingdom. Jesus sent his disciples out there in Luke chapter 10, and he says, heal the sick. And tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. It's in the kingdom. It's in the kingdom. It's in the kingdom. There's a lot of benefits in the kingdom. But for us to get in the kingdom, we need the king. Because he's the one with the authority. The devil is not scared of you or me. He is not scared of us. You can shout and you can holler and you can do all these funny things that Christians do. The authority comes from the king. If he lives on the inside. I'll never forget the first time I was confronted with a demon years ago. And I had no experience. I didn't know what to do. But since I was the pastor, I had to deal with it. So I walked up there, but the moment I started walking towards that situation, I sensed an authority rise up inside of me that I never knew I had. But it came from the one who has all the authority in heaven and earth. That's where it came from. And suddenly I was so bold. And I went over there and I cast that thing out in the name of the one who has the authority. Praise God. But you don't do that by being churched. You do that by having the king sitting on the throne of your heart. And that's the church that God wants. That's the church that he wants. Where he is in charge. And things are done according to his will. And oh boy, does it ever require a lot of obedience to do that. God is changing the world through our obedience. And there's no other way to do it. He does it through us. And not the way we like to change things. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad that God didn't answer all your prayers? I am. Amen. Boy, there are some things I prayed for. I'm so glad he didn't bother to answer. Where I thought this was right and that was right and found out later on, oh boy, thank God he didn't pay any attention to that. But when you pray, when he stirs your heart, and it makes no... Isn't that why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, he intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered? Because he bypasses this little filter we have in our mind that we say, no, 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 you can't pray for that. And you cannot pray for that. And that's not possible. And this cannot be done. And we filter things out and end with something that is dead. But the Spirit knows the heart of God. And he knows what to pray for. And he has no limits in his faith. He knows what God can do. And he knows what God wants to do. And he is not going to pass that through your mind or mine. He knows what we're thinking. God changes the world through our obedience to his voice. Now let's go to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to close with that. And verse 20. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. I feel a little mischievous. I want to ask who is ready to sell out, but I won't ask, all right? I won't ask that. I just leave it there. But you know, if we don't sell out, we don't get the pearl. Hey, in the kingdom is like that pearl that you get when you sell out. Value system. Value system. God, we want what the kingdom has. We want what the kingdom has. God says, oh, you can have it. Yes, the price of the pearl. Yes, the price of the pearl. You can have it. It's available. Bring what you have and you can have the pearl. Oh, Lord. Luke 17 and verse 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's in your heart. The kingdom of God is in your heart. On the inside of you. That's where the kingdom is. You cannot look around and say, well, I'm going to run this way or I'm going to go there. And I'm gonna... The kingdom of God is within you. It's in our hearts. It's in our hearts. Oh, there's a beautiful scripture here in Second Corinthians, verse 4. I said we're going to close, but you know not to believe me when I say that. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it's on the inside. It's inside the vessel that you see. It's inside that earthen vessel. This is that earthen looking thing that, you know, that doesn't look like much. It's made of the earth. We're made of the dust of the ground. It's earthly looking. But the treasure is on the inside. The kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. You are greater on the inside than you are on the outside. You are a lot smarter on the inside than you are on the outside. I'll go one step further. You're more beautiful on the inside than you are on the outside. Oh, you can put all the things on your face, and that's nice, and we like to see that, but the real beauty is on the inside. Where you made like the one that made you. You look like the one that made you. That's what Colossians 3:10 says. You were made by the one that you look like the one that made you. It's on the inside. It's when that heart begins to yield to the one that knows everything, that has all the wisdom in the universe, that has all the authority in heaven and earth. And when we begin to yield to him, he changes us. He changes us. There in chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. The same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being changed. That's the change that we're talking about. When you come into the kingdom, you change. You change. It's not the same as out there. It's different in the kingdom. It's different every Monday. It's different every Tuesday. Not only on Sunday. Amen. You change. You're a new person. And you're submitting to a new king. And now, I wonder if we can pray that prayer. Let your kingdom come. Because I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come in my heart. I set aside my own agenda. I set aside my own thing. I'm at your service. The Apostle Paul understood this thing very quickly. When Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and he fell on the ground, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's what we ought to say. What do you want me to do? Amen. You wake up in the morning, what do you want me to do? Amen. You're king. I'm here to serve you. I'm at your service. What can I do for you today? And then he comes with that first weird thing and you say, well, I don't think we can do that. Let's try something else. It's an upside down kingdom. If you look from the world's point of view, it's not going to be just the same as out there. It's different. Change our hearts, O Lord. Change our hearts. Oh, King David prayed for this thing. He said, Lord, change my heart. Renew a new spirit in me. He was yearning for the new birth. He was yearning for it. He couldn't get it, but we can. Change it from inside out. Let the kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's change things by changing ourselves first. Let's change it. Let's step into this wonderful kingdom with all the authority and all the power and all this wonderful life of blessing. Let's do that. Tap into God's value system. Let him reign in our hearts. There's a lot of people looking for the kingdom. A lot of people looking for the kingdom. They'll only see it come in our lives. We're going to talk a lot about the kingdom in the next months. There's a lot about the kingdom that we need to get back into. We forget when we don't talk about it. We forget. But there's a lot about the kingdom. We need to talk. I know the church is not the kingdom. The church is only there to help you get in there and get things done there. And so that's the purpose of the church. But while we talk about the kingdom, I begin to see the future of the church. I don't know if you're happy, but I'm not happy with the church. I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot more for us. Amen. And I want to go for it. Amen. I'm going to go after it. And it's going to take a lot of pressing in and a lot of grabbing it by violence and a lot of that stuff, begins by submitting. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Let's all stand. Father, we pray that your kingdom will come, that your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And we understand, Lord, that it begins with me. It begins with every one of us by having you sit on the throne of our hearts and live that life of obedience to you and just obey you because you're king. Just obey you because you're king. And we submit to you. Father, I pray that you penetrate every heart. Father, I pray the revelation knowledge will flow into every heart. Let us see the kingdom, Lord. Let us see the kingdom. Let us see all the goodness of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.